This is the Power 98.7 Podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 Podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is 6 minutes after 10 o'clock and this is the second hour of Power Talk. Now, Basil Mdaka on Twitter says, men tend to have better upper body strength than women, which... Okay, I suppose that's debatable. well, I mean, it's a point of controversy, and says, for that fact, we cannot expect women to do hard labor. On the other hand, women bring warmth to everything they touch. I think a kitchen would be the best place for them. I would love to hear the conversation that happens between you, Basil, and the person in your life, if it is a woman, about, you know, her being relegated to the kitchen and that's the best place for her. What happens to women who are, you know, who are in professional employment maybe, or in employment that takes them away from home for long, long hours? What happens? Must whoever's dependent on a meal to come out of a kitchen, you know, wait for a woman to come back, because that's the only place or the best place for a woman, and it's only a woman's preserve. And Guy says, LOL Iman, I still get calls from exes asking when I'm cooking for them. If your cooking was so good, I wonder why they left then. Okay, 7 after 10. We are talking about a kitchen of a different kind. This is the kitchen of a government where the temperatures get really, really hot and where your performance is tested, I suppose, to the maximum. In the context of the performance of certain ministers, we're asking whether is the time ripe or not for Batabile Dlamini and Melusi Gigaba to exit office. And we'll be discussing this with Dr. Nsikelelo Breakfast and Dr. Somadoda Fikeni in just a short time. But the DA is piling pressure on the president to fire embattled ministers Melusi Gigaba and Batabile Dlamini, saying that keeping them in cabinet is irrational and legally indefensible. The DA also wants the ministers to pay legal costs from their own pockets while fighting cases brought against them and in trying to clear their name. So should we be more forgiving and understanding to ministers? But is the time right then for their exit, considering upcoming elections and in light of the president's self-proclaimed clean-up project? Dr. Nsikelelo Breakfast is a political analyst, also based at Stellenbosch University. Let's start with you, and welcome to the program as always. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Iman, for having me on the program.
You know, we talk about this often when we're just like, when we've just had it with, you know, the performance of ministers or even the conduct of MPs in Parliament and people who have been former ministers but who continue to be MPs in Parliament. I'd like your thoughts on the timing of, you know, whether and the timing and the basis for the exit of this or that minister. We knew from the beginning when Cyril Ramaphosa came in and that first cabinet reshuffle happened, we were surprised that some names made it, even though their performance was wanting. And we think of people like Batabile Dlamini, most obviously being reassigned to the women's ministry inside the presidency. And we knew at that stage as well that it was more than just about a decision that was fueled on the basis of performance, but it was also on political expediency and what worked politically in terms of what was happening internally in the ANC. So, you know, should we have, I mean, what should our approach be as citizens of the country who simply want a cabinet that works and ministers who do the job that they're assigned to do?
Well, firstly and most importantly, I think everything is a context, and context is everything. We know that last year the ANC held its conference at Nazareth, and President Ramaphosa won by a tiny majority, basically. I think he's trying to tread carefully and not rock the boat, because if he fires all the people who are implicated in corruption, he might be reinforcing the argument that he's purging some people. That's the first point. The second point is that he was very strategic in letting go of some cabinet ministers. He went only for those ones who are kind of like a soft target, like Zwane and Faith and other people. Just to convey a message that he's taking a stand against corruption. And then there are other ministers like Mama Batabile Dlamini and Mama Nombula Mungonyana. I think it's not easy to boot those ones out because, one, They've got the political capital. They are popular. And I mean, if you look at a person like Batabile Tlhamane, she is currently the president of the Women's League. So you might get a backlash also from the Women's League. I think also an argument might be developed that, you know, this has to do with the politics of masculinity or something along those lines, if you're going to get rid of both Batabile Tlhamane and Nomvula Nkonyana. Against that background, one should also take into cognizance the fact that elections will be held just around the corner. So you don't want to get rid of the people who are crowd towards, because that might have a negative spillover effect also to the electoral machinery of the party. So that's why he had to let go of others and keep others, just to make sure that he strikes the balance, and also he conveys the message that he's pursuing the political project of the unit.
It leaves us in a bit of a difficult position, Dr. Ntsikelelo Breakfast, because as citizens, what we are expecting is high functionality in the execution of various portfolios of ministries and portfolios. You know, we have Nomvula Mokonyane, who is still under fire, I think, through the legacy, the dysfunctional legacy that was left behind in water and sanitation. I mean, we only have to think about the Giani Water Project. And I know that in some ways it might predate her office, but there were a lot of things that she hadn't attended to while in office in managing that portfolio. Social development, I think, is a story that is all very fresh in our memories through the SASA debacle, Annette One, and the whole payments saga, which really, you know, kind of exposed the most vulnerable of our citizens. So it leaves us in an invidious position as citizens, because we're clamoring for the appointment of people who are simply able to do the job at hand. And yet we're being asked to have a mind to the bigger political context in which someone like a president finds himself.
Yeah, I hear you. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think you are on point. But also, on the other hand, one has to remember that the president also has to play some politics in order to entrench himself within the ranks of the ANC, and also has a great deal of a command, because if he is going to fire ministers every now and then, or every time the public is holding a negative perception at this or that minister, he might be unpopular as well within the ANC, because the ANC is also fragile at the moment, because it is going through hell. So I think he's trying his level best to pursue unity, but at the same time also he wants to wage a war against corruption. And that is not simple and straightforward. It's a very complex exercise that basically he's engaging in at the moment.
But it's more than just negative perception. I mean, we have on record poor performances that sometimes have made their way into protracted legal battles, which have added, you know, an extra expense to government. So I'm saying it's more than as you say, the president having to manage negative perceptions about this or that minister, when it is also about performance, which we have on record, some malperformance or poor performance, which even made its way into the courts, as we saw through the protracted legal battles around SASA and the companies involved in dispensing those grants. So it's not just about not liking someone or, you know, kind of someone finding themselves out in the political cold. It is about performance or a lack thereof.
Yes, it is about performance. Like I said, context is everything here. Because, for instance, let's look at a person like Nomvula Nkonyana and also Batabile Tlhamane. They have a great deal of influence in the Women's League. And if the president can sacrifice both of them, I can bet my bottom dollar there will be a backlash or a negative response. So that's why the president doesn't want to rock the boat. He has kept both of them and sacrificed others who I call the easier targets that he had to let go. So he's playing politics basically, and I doubt very much he is going to let go of the ministers that I've cited earlier on because of their political influence.
I mean, how much credence do we give to someone like Melusi Gigaba, who says his hands, not only are his hands clean, but there is a target of people who don't want him to become president? He's attributed his recent political setbacks to what he calls sinister forces aimed at preventing him from becoming the next ANC leader and subsequently the state president. And he says that he's been very hard at work trying to defend himself from hard-working enemies. I mean, you know, where do we situate that in terms of a very damning finding by the Public Protector's Office, which finds that he, you know, that he broke his oath of office? I mean, these are not merely the machinations of people who want his downfall or who are working at securing his downfall. These are credible findings, one would imagine.
Well, there have been many rulings and many reports that are confirming the same thing, that he is not trustworthy, that he has lied under oath, and that he's not a credible person, or he's not a man of integrity. I mean, I can't remember when it was, but there was a report that lays there, I think last week on Thursday, by the Public Protector, to say that the president must do something about his situation. I don't think that the president will be complacent in that regard and not do something about his situation. Because if the president can take an action against him, it implies that the president is throwing water into this situation. And also it will imply that also the president is not serious about fighting against corruption. So in this case, I think the writing is on the wall. I also listened to the treasurer of the ANC, Paul Mashatile, and I could read between the lines that a decision has been made, but it's just a matter of time now for that decision to be communicated in public. But I think it's going to be just a matter of time.
So, again, you know, it comes, and you said right at the very beginning, Dr. Breakfast, that context is everything. Everything has a context. The president has to be very strategic in letting go of some cabinet ministers and retaining others. The fact is that he's been seen as, you know, Cyril, besides Mr. Tumamina, but, you know, President Cyril cleanup campaign Ramaphosa in all of these different areas. If there's an issue raised around women and women's marginalization, And violence and abuse in our society. Then we have a gender summit on that, raising the issue around jobs. We have a job summit. We have an investment summit. He seemed to be very responsive on some of the urgent issues in South Africa today. But, you know, not so much on the cleanup inside his own cabinet. Is that an unfair picture or not?
I think the picture is a bit unfair. I'll tell you why. Because we've seen new boards being appointed, being instituted. We've seen people being fired. I think Tom Moyan was fired last week. We've seen also other people being fired. So there has been a major shake-up within the state machinery since they've taken over. I'm not saying that everything is hunky-dory. Nor am I saying that he has not done anything. I think he's heading towards the right direction, but he needs the support. I think the problem has been the fact that the president, side by side with his SG of the ANC, they seem to be pulling in different directions, which convey mixed messages to the public. But I think he's heading towards the right direction. So I don't agree with you if you say that he has not done anything in terms of waging a war against corruption.
I'd like to throw this out to our listeners. I mean, should we be less concerned with the president, you know, firing or getting rid of errant ministers or non-performing or lying ministers when the evidence is there, and see it in the bigger picture, as Dr. Breakfast is asking us to see it, of some of the other cleanups that have been happening under his watch now since his tenure began earlier this year, in terms of the shakeup at different SOE boards, paying attention to some of the urgent issues in our society? society, dealing with gender violence, gender-based violence, or dealing with unemployment and job creation and the attraction of investment into our economy. Should we be more concerned with those aspects of the work that the president is doing and less concerned about who still has a role to play in office? And these are cabinet ministers that I'm talking about. Should we be changing our approach to how we interpret the president's cleanup campaign? 0861 987 000. That is the number to call. Is the president on the right track, or should he be taking decisive action on some of these ministers? The reality, though, is just on in terms of his priority and what he places urgency on, Dr. Breakfast, there is increasing pressure from the opposition in the guise of the DA, for example, who are asking the president to act more swiftly on people like Malusi Gigaba. How is he going to manage to stave that off, especially in a pre-election year?
Yeah, no, I don't think that the opposition is at fault. And the role of the opposition is to hold the ruling party to account. So they are doing that, and they must be applauded for a good job, well done, by taking the government to court, if needs be, and by exposing corruption when it is necessary. However, with regard to the case of the DA and the president, I am not sure if the court can be prescriptive and prescribe to the president that this minister and that minister must be fired. I think, I'm not a lawyer, but in my view, I think what the court can do is to remind the president that his responsibility is to defend and to uphold the constitution and remind him of his functions. But not to say that fire this minister and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not just what's being brought by the opposition benches, but it's also the public protector has given the president a limited number of days to act against Gigaba while this court action is happening separately. Going to take a quick breather with Dr. Nsikelelo Breakfast and take your calls on 0861 987 000. Another aspect of the conversation I want to pursue is this finding by the public protector of Malusi Gigaba to have violated the constitution and the Executive Ethics Code. Now, in terms of the Ethics Executive Code, and I was sharing with you just recently when Tito Mboweni was anointed finance minister of our country, the oath of office that he had to take, and it is a really grave oath that you make in front of the public, and it is really a commitment, of conscience and conduct to your office. Whether that is enough to ensure that we get the ministers that we deserve in these various portfolios, and besides the Executive Ethics Code, whether we need a separate code which is comprised of a series of key performance areas for our ministers in whatever role they've been deployed in, to so that it takes the decision away from anyone else, or takes it out of the realm of whether something is malicious or not, even though the appointment of ministers is a preserve of the president, is whether they have built in this kind of set of KPAs at the minute they transgress their role or are guilty of oversight or of negligence or of fraud and corruption, that they immediately then will trigger a process where they have to leave office, so that it doesn't become an issue that can be discussed or debated about from a political perspective, which it seems has been guiding or influencing the way in which the president himself is able to make decisions around people in cabinet. 24 minutes after 10 o'clock.
Tweet Iman at Iman Rapetti.
With Dr. Nsikelelo Breakfast from the University of Stellenbosch, our political analyst this morning, talking about whether the time is ripe or not for Ministers Batabile Dlamini and Malusi Gigaba to exit office. And you've been hearing Dr. Breakfast talk about the broader political context. Everything has a context, he says. The president has to be very strategic in letting go some cabinet ministers. Talked about the retention of ministers like Batabile Dlamini and Domvula Mokonyane, not easy to boot them out because they are very popular and have a great deal of political capital. How does the president continue to build credibility if we are holding on, or he is holding on, to ministers who in one way or another have damaged their portfolios? Aside from the executive ethics code, or the executive, the executive ethics code, Dr. Breakfast, do we need another, I don't know, another measure of performance in terms of these ministerial positions, which would then take the invidious task of getting rid of someone away from the president and kind of inoculate him or vaccinate him against any kind of blowback if they have to be let go because they simply haven't been able to do their jobs.
First of all, I'm not saying that you are implying this, but when I said that the president has to maneuver carefully in making decisions for not letting go this or that minister, I wasn't arguing that he should keep those ones that have been alleged to have been corrupt.
I got you. I hope that I conveyed it in the way that you... No, I got you. Absolutely. You're saying that there's a lot more at play. There are a lot of other political machinations which kind of, are residue from ANC 54 last year that we have to be mindful of. These are not just kind of, cold, operationally expedient decisions the president can make. So I just to clarify, so you understand I understood you.
Okay, cool. So I think the ANC... at the level of the party, it does have its own barometer because, the ANC is the one that deploys, in theory, even though the president is the one that has the powers to appoint ministers and also he's a deputy president. So I suppose a barometer is at play in terms of how to assess the performance of ministers. And I'm sure the president also does have his own barometer that he uses to gauge them. So I'm not sure if there's a need for another barometer to be developed to judge if this minister or that minister is performing or not.
All right. So again, should we be hard at work at creating a different framework of performance?
Is there something wrong with the one that is at play?
Well, it would seem as if, if it's purely performance-based, projects delivered, commissioned transparently, money's kept track of, projects delivered on time and in budget, all the role players are clearly identified, making sure that the system is completely free of any kind of interference, any kind of nepotism or, undue influences. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think the framework to judge political heads of departments is at play. I think the ruling party does have that framework. Even the executive does have that framework. But it's not simple and straightforward to fire some people because of their influence, because that also might have a negative spillover effect to the president holding the office that he holds. So that's why sometimes some people might be let go and some people might be kept for political reasons so that the president also can continue being at the helm of power, basically.
So should we just stop our clamoring for a stepping aside or, a cutting short of their terms of office, do you think?
No, as a public, we shouldn't. We should continue speaking against corruption, speak truth to power. But I'm just explaining now the context in which the president operates in, that he has to consider a number of things before firing ministers, what a decision means politically, what it means for the country, what it means for him holding the position that he holds. This is not straightforward. There are complexities at play.
All right. Dr. Ntsikelelo Breakfast, thank you as always for your time and your analysis. Really appreciate it. It brings us to exactly 29 to 11.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.